Our gospel this morning narrates Jesus' summation of the Ten Commandments by distilling them into the great two commands: to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The law itself, given to Moses and the Jews, was given as a remedy for Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they rejected God's rights over them as their creator. Adam and Eve decided to determine what was right and what was wrong. Whatever they decided that they wanted to do, without reference to God, would be deemed good. And whatever they didn't want to do, without reference to God, would now be deemed evil. In other words, they set out to create their own world in their own image and likeness. Severing their relationship with God, they would be able to, at least so they thought, to fulfill every sensual desire of the body without consequence and with no reference to God. They rose up against God, rejected Him, and worshiped themselves. Does this not sound exactly like the narrative of our country's moral decline? They worshiped themselves, rejected Him, and decided to determine what was right and what was wrong with no reference to God, but based on their own thought. So by contrast, the two great commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, invites believers into a relationship with God. And happily, for the better part of our country's history, these two great commandments formed the backbone, an underlying principle for moral conduct in our society, even starting with plain decency. But now we find ourselves in very different times, even much different than 40 years ago. I will turn 40 this December. I was born a month before Roe v. Wade. My parents marvel today at the challenges that parents of young children have to face today in raising kids. Challenges that were never really present when I was growing up, at least were not overtly celebrated and welcomed, are very much in the mainstream today. And to be sure, the mainstream media, the entertainment industry, and by and large the education system, even sadly at times the Catholic education system, especially at the university level, three of the most influential agents for cultural trends in our society, are decidedly against us. There is a deliberate and concerted attempt to marginalize us and make us seem bigoted, hateful, and mostly seem irrelevant. Now, I don't mean to say this in some sort of conspiratorial tone. Rather, I say this with a sense of dispassion, perhaps giving you a broad and sober assessment of the contemporary landscape. It seems really paradoxical that these three giants of cultural trends, that is, the mainstream media, the entertainment industry, and the higher education system, persecute the very church that gave our founders the Judeo-Christian ethic that forms the very basis of the freedoms that they so readily champion, especially their freedom of speech. This Tuesday's election reveals the obvious. We are a very, very, very divided country. We are a country where we can no longer assume first principles with each other, rooted in the two great commandments. In fact, Tuesday's vote, which I know we are energized to influence greatly, at least here in Virginia, is bigger than the economy, it's bigger than Benghazi, and it's bigger than the candidates themselves. More than that, it's a statement about the kind of country we want to be. one that remains rooted in our founding principles, that cite the two great commandments as their reference point, or one that does not. A country that makes no reference to God's law whatsoever, not so unlike Adam and Eve, freshly fallen in the Garden of Eden. To be sure, no election will heal what divides us. The wounds of division in our country will still be very much present on Wednesday. But it does set the tone for the type of governance that we want. After all, we get the politicians that we deserve. Their virtue, or lack thereof, is not only a judgment on them, it's an indictment on us. And so I give you finally, at the end of this election preaching season, our bishop's own words as our nation faces a very crucial day on Tuesday. These are the words of our bishop, Bishop Paul Laverty of Arlington. He writes, "We as Catholics are confronted with grave challenges to our beliefs. Indeed, we know that we face very serious threats to our very ability to practice and live our faith in our communities fully as citizens. We are first Catholics, not Democrats or Republicans, and recognizing our Catholic identity and the immutable truths of our faith, we must make the best decision we can according to our consciences, properly informed by the Church's official teaching. I know that this can be very difficult at times to discern, and I have sought in several ways to assist you, respectfully, yet authoritatively, to make choices that do justice to the teachings of our Lord and your status as his disciples in a darkened world. We must be strong, confident voices for truth and goodness in the public square. And this imperative includes the choices we make in electing our leaders. And while, as I have often noted, there are many issues that command our attention as Catholics, some issues, some challenges are so grave so as to demand our focus, our serious reflection, and our responsible decisions. Abortion is no abstract topic or public policy issue without consequence in the present elections. The party platforms and political advertisements we see and hear each today confirm that the lives of the unborn, the weakest and most innocent among us, are still squarely in the public debate. And our votes do have consequences with respect to this unspeakable crime, both here at home and in nations abroad. If we do not defend life at its beginning, at conception, then there is no life for us to develop and protect thereafter. It is the first right. Finally, the ability of the Church to live fully its mission as Christ Church is directly infringed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services mandate requiring church institutions to provide insurance coverage for contraceptives, sterilizations, and abortion-inducing drugs. The Church's charitable, educational, and healthcare ministries are and continue to be clearly threatened by this draconian requirement that assaults our First Amendment rights as free citizens. However an individual votes this November, that decision will have a specific impact on religious liberty, which is our first freedom. As Catholics, we must recognize that the defense of religious liberty is necessary if we, as individuals and as a church, are to preserve our ability to practice in our daily lives and in the public square all that we profess at Mass each Sunday. Most importantly, I urge you to pray and have recourse to our Lord and His Blessed Mother, especially under her title, Mary, Help of Christians. O Mary, conceived without sin,